Chapter number 7. Verse number 51. We'll begin reading at that verse. And I want you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Of course, you're familiar with this, and we'll back up and get a little background of it in a minute. But Stephen, the first deacon mentioned in Scripture, has really given forth a message in this chapter. He's winding it up now, and here's what happens. What he says, he's stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Lord, of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. He's putting it pretty heavy to them right there. And straight on. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's bow our heads and pray. Ask God to help us. Father, thank you again for the Lord Jesus and the privilege we had to be in the house of God. And now I pray for that divine touch to help us preach. Lord, make it real to our hearts. In the hearts of this congregation, I pray for unsaved to see their need of a Savior, the saved to be encouraged and strengthened, your will be accomplished. And Father, tonight I pray that the power of God would work in hearts, and that we all may worship in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, as we have talked about the appearances of the Lord Jesus after his resurrection, and we've been dealing with that on Wednesday night for some time. And I have made mention probably of this scripture here. And I know some scripture about Paul. But I want to deal definitely directly with this tonight. And we have had 10 appearances that we have dealt with to some degree anyway. And the first one talked about comfort. And Mary Magdalene, and she was fearful in how Jesus brought comfort. And he was constantly saying, fear not and be of good comfort. And that's the will of God. And I would say to you tonight that are facing things in your life, and to myself and others, that fear not and be of good comfort. I'm glad God's got it under control, and we need to trust him about it all. But as you come to the last time I was on an appearance of Jesus, talking about blessings, how that Jesus, when he's getting ready to ascend back into heaven, and he blessed them and then ascended back into heaven. And so each appearance seemed to have a theme in it, and something special that was happening. Here in this appearance, I'm tonight, I guess if I picked a theme for it, I would call it triumph or victory. And I guess we could just make it victory, because that's a good word, victory. And I'm glad that I am on the winning side. Amen. And Brother Tim, I can tell you right now, good song for the invitation is Victory in Jesus. You said that's not an invitation song. It will be tonight. It will be tonight. And I've ever saw victory. You see it right here. And how it's going to wind up. So I pray God will help us as we look at this. Now I want us to back up in chapter 7, or 6 rather, in chapter 6 of Acts, and get the setting for this of Stephen, and pray God to help us as we look at this. There's some great truths that can be brought out. And I'll try not to spend too much time on this so we can get to the message itself and not keep you too long. But look in verse number 5 of chapter 6. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. Now they're talking about they had some murmuring. Back in verse number 6, they had some murmuring among the Grecians over the what was happening and taking care of the physical things, and had some murmuring about it. And I cannot help but tell you about this. Last night, I made a phone call to Brother Alvin Fleming. Brother Alvin Fleming has had a heart pacemaker put in, and he's facing some knee surgery if he can get able to have it. And Brother Alvin Fleming is usually always up good and like you laugh and always going on with something. Well, he's always, when he calls the house, if my wife answers, he usually asks her, do you know where we can get some snakes, or I've got a truckload of snakes. I'm looking for a place to put them out. Now, y'all remember the snake deal with Juanita here one Jubilee. Somebody was preaching and had a play snake, but they was making a point about how Paul slung it off. And he was slinging it around. My wife could not stand a snake, either live nor dead nor real nor not real. Play snake, any kind of snake. She sees a picture and a snake in the book, she'll throw the book. And so I watch her when she's got a book in her hand, make sure no one pictures of snakes in it. And that kind of thing bothers her. And so Brother Fleming picked up on that, and he's never forgot it. And I called him last night, and I've talked to his wife a few minutes, and she was real tired, and she told me about how he was doing. He was pretty low and pretty down, you know, trying to get up. And so as that was going on, when I started talking to him, I was trying to kid with him a little bit just to help him. And I said, Brother Fleming, do you know where I can get some snakes? He thought just a few seconds. Now, it didn't take him long. He said, Brother Stewart, said, if you just go to the average Baptist church, you can find a bunch of them. So right here in this scripture, there's some murmuring in that first verse of chapter 6, probably a Baptist church, amen. And they had some murmuring. And so they chose out some deacons to take care of that. And a preacher might give himself the prayer and the ministering of the word. Then look in verse number 9. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and of the Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of the Cilicia and of Asia, and disputing with Stephen. And they were not able. I like this verse. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. And verse number 12. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and called him and brought him to the council. This was those that were would not accept the fact that the Christ had come. And these were taking it against Stephen. And they set up false witnesses. That's what you did to Jesus. They set up false witnesses against him, which said, this man seems not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. That's not true. He did not speak blasphemous words against the law nor the temple. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. Now, Jesus did say that this place would be destroyed. In 70 AD, it was destroyed. And as far as the customs and things that Moses delivered, he spake of the coming Messiah. And this was truly a fulfillment of the Jesus fulfilled the law. He did, perfectly did kept the law. And all that happened, and that's true, but they misused that and brought accusation against Stephen. And all that said in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as been the face of an angel. Look in chapter 7, verse number 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham. Now, let me say to all of you, everyone here, if you want to read a concise history of Israel from Abraham, the beginning of them, all the way through, then you read the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. And Stephen starts with Abraham, and he hits the highlights of their history and gives them a summation of that history. And throughout all of that, he's bringing out the fact that it's been said that Jesus was coming and that this indeed was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus of Nazareth was the one that had come, and they had crucified him, and he called them murderers. And said, and Peter put it this way one day. He said, whom ye crucified. And of course, we realize that all of us crucified the Lord Jesus, because our sin put him on the cross. Had we not sinned, he wouldn't have had to go to the cross of Calvary. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody had a part in putting him there. But this council, these Jews that hated him, these that would not listen to the truth, and these that turned against him, and they hated Stephen, they hated Jesus, they hated Paul later, they hated all these. But here Stephen is, and he's a deacon. But boy, he sure gave them a message in that chapter. And they got, when he got through, they got tore up about it. And he said in verse 51, you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. And then he went on, and they heard that. They gnashed on him with their teeth, the Bible says. But I want you to look in verse number 55 and verse 56. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, now here he is. They're gnashing on him. They're getting ready to stone him and kill him. And he looked up into heaven and said, I see the glory of God. I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Can you think about that? I believe Jesus stood up for him. As in the New Testament, the first martyr, we know as far as after Jesus died and rose from the dead, here we find that martyr Stephen, and he was martyred he wasn't the last one, but I want you to know many men have died, many women have died, children have died for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his namesake, have stood true to him. Now he could have said, I know they're fixing to kill me, and so I'll just kind of give in to them a little bit and tell them I'm going to quit preaching in the name of Jesus and just let me go and I'll do something different. He could have said that. He could have done it that way, but he didn't do it. And it's like the three Hebrew children. They could have said, we'll bow, but we'll not really worship that idol. We'll just bow. But they didn't do that. They said, O king, be it known unto thee, we'll not bow to your idol. And whether we die or whether we live, now that's not the words they used, but that's what they meant. And here they are, here Stephen is, and they're getting ready to kill him. And his face is shown like the face of an angel. He looks up into heaven and said, I see the heavens open. Hallelujah. When D.L. Moody was dying, he said, the earth is receding, heaven is opening up. And this is my coronation day. I say hallelujah. Stephen saw the earth receding. He saw heaven opening up. And as he saw heaven open up, he saw the resurrected, the living Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. You said, how in the world could Stephen see that far? With God, all things are possible. He opened up heaven. And Jesus had ascended and sat down at the right hand of the Father, the Bible said. But here it says he's standing up. Why was he standing up? I believe he's standing up because he's Stephen fixing to come home. And he's fixing to say to him, well done, how good and faithful servant. And Stephen looking beyond what was happening to him. I believe as the stones fell upon him, as they hit him, and as we would think was hurting him and bruising him and awful. Think about it, stones hitting you and your head and your body and your all of that happening. He's looking up and saying, I see Jesus. I say hallelujah and glory to God. Here's an appearance of the Lord Jesus in victory. He had stood his ground. He had done what was right. It all came down to the end and said, it's victory day. I see Jesus. I say hallelujah. I look forward to the day that I too shall see the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad, thank God, there's victory in this thing. It's not defeat. We're not on the losing side. We're on the winning side. I may go through some battles. I may lose some fights down here. But I want you to know one thing. The battle is already won in the Lord Jesus Christ. and if we'll just let him help us, the battle is won. Hallelujah. And we may get knocked down, but we're not knocked out. Amen. We may be pushed over, but we're not staying pushed over. We'll get up and go again. I say hallelujah for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Stephen seeing him and rejoicing to see the Lord Jesus as he stands. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 8, we are confident of this, and that we're confident at this very thing, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I say hallelujah. That's what Stephen's getting ready to do. He's getting ready to say body goodbye and be present with the Lord. Which way would you rather be? In body down here, living in this life, or absent from body and present with the Lord? I was talking to someone the other morning and they said, preacher, I'll be glad when Jesus comes. I hope he comes today. And I said, I agree with that. Be a good day for him to come and get us out of here. Hey, that day will take place. He will come and we will leave out. And I say hallelujah for that day. Amen. Paul was getting ready to have his head cut off. And 2 Timothy 4, I believe verse 6, and beginning there about through verse 8. And Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and time of my departure at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give those who love, which I shall receive in that day of the Lord, all those who love his appearing. I say amen and amen. I'm glad, praise God, the crown of righteousness is for everybody that loves his appearing, looking for him. But Paul's getting ready to leave out. He said, I fought a good fight. Hallelujah. Said, I finished my course. He didn't just start and stop somewhere. I believe Brother Tim was preaching the other night about running a race, and we're talking about during Vacation Bible School, about that race for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Tim was talking about getting across the finish line. And I say amen for all that. I want to finish upright, amen. I've said many times, I want to finish it upright. And sometimes people start out real fast, but they don't last long and soon go out. If a man is going to run a long way, is going to run in a race, he must start out and pace himself right, else he'll get too tired to finish over the goal line. But I'm glad, praise God, we can run a race by the grace of God. And if we'll run with God, it's never too fast. It'll never be too slow. It'll always be right on time. If we'll run with God, don't try to run ahead of God. Don't run behind God, but run with God. It'll be all right. Amen. And sometimes I'm back in my life, I've tried to run ahead of God. And there have been times I've drug my feet and run behind God. But oh, to run with God and just stay right pace, it'll be all right. I say hallelujah and amen. Amen tonight. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad this thing is real? I'm glad. I said tonight it's victory. Now notice what else happened here in these verses. And they took him out and stoned him. And as they were stoning him, and they laid their clothes down at the feet of one called Saul. Young man called Saul. Now I don't believe Saul ever got over that. I believe somewhere down deep in Saul's heart, they never got over the fact of what Stephen said. And notice what it says in verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. I believe he wanted everybody to hear him. He cried. I believe God gave him some extra energy right at the dying moment. He cried with a loud voice, said, Lord, lay not the sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lay not the sin to the... Doesn't that remind you again of the Lord Jesus? That on the cross of Calvary, as he nailed him to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's the same that Stephen doing here. And he wasn't saying, now, Lord, I want you to get these people for this. I want you to smite them down. And remember the prophet one time. He went out and his servant said to the prophet, why don't we ask God to smite them all? And he didn't know what he's saying, talking about, and the prophet wouldn't do that. And here we are, and we're saying tonight that Stephen died in victory, not only in the fact that he saw Jesus resurrected in a bodily form, but in the fact that he himself was a godly man and have a forgiving spirit and desired even those who were stoning him that they might be saved. I say tonight he had a heart's desire for people to be saved and born in the family of God. I say tonight it's victory. It's worth it all. And we need that victory. Amen. And I'm going to try to conclude this tonight in just a few moments with something I did the other night. But I want to say to you tonight, here as Stephen saw Jesus Christ, you remember this. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And if we'll just remember that, and walking through the valley of the shadow of death, or however it may be, we may be dying somewhere. We may be, as far as physical is concerned, going out of this world. We may be able to get a glimpse of the Lord Jesus. Or we may just take that scripture and know that it's real and believe his promise that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you all the way, yea, even to the end of the world. Now, there's a lot of folk have quit. There's a lot of folk are quitting today. But the other night, in the mission school that we had, I preached a message on some reasons why I don't want to quit. I'll tell you tonight, praise God, it's victory. Amen. I'm adding one more to that because I want to wait to get the victory, hallelujah, and see the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ and see my living Savior. Amen and amen. I said in that message, I'm having a good time serving the Lord, and I really am. I said in that message also that Jesus done too much for me. Quit on him. Amen. And the devil will say, why don't you quit? Why don't you give up? Why don't you just get, you get tired and you get wore out, but you can't quit. Amen. You just can't quit. And I just preach on not quitting. And I say, hallelujah, I don't want to quit. I fear God. I don't want to quit because of that. And the devil said I would. And I don't want to quit because of the devil. I want to show him a liar. Amen. I'd rather make Jesus get glory than let the devil sit back and laugh. Amen. Wouldn't you? And if you quit, the devil will sit back and laugh at you. Ain't no victory in that, but hallelujah. Keep on keeping on for the glory of God. And then if you quit, it affects other people. Just think about people that quit. I've seen folk drop out of church. I've seen them quit on God, and they never do it by themselves. It's always somebody goes with them. Always somebody, amen. And you said, it's my business what I do. Nobody else has to follow me. No man lives to himself, the Bible says, and no man dies to himself. Everybody affects somebody somehow, some way in this world. And so we need to remember that and keep it in mind. I say hallelujah. I'd rather be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ than be a disappointment to the Lord Jesus Christ, wouldn't you? And I don't know what else I said and all that, but I know one thing tonight. It's victory in Jesus if we'll just keep looking to the living Savior. We've been talking about resurrection appearances, and here he appears after he ascended into heaven. But it's the same Jesus that was there when he blessed them. The same Jesus said, be of good comfort. The same Jesus was said, fear not. The same Jesus that over 500 saw at one time. The same Jesus that they saw ascend up into heaven. The same Jesus Stephen saw in a bodily form. And one day I too shall see him. That is victory. Victory. This is our victory appearance of the Lord Jesus. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head ever bowed, every eye closed. Victory. Victory appearance of the Lord Jesus. Tonight, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know tonight there's some unsaved folk that are here. I'm asking you tonight to think seriously about your eternal destination. We've talked about victory and looking unto Jesus and following him and running with him. But if you're unsaved tonight, your home will not be heaven. And when you leave out of this world, it'll not be seeing Jesus first thing. It'll be waking in hell. In Luke 16, the rich man died in hell, lifted up his eyes, being in torments. But oh, praise God tonight. There's still victory in Jesus for you if you will repent and come and believe. Trust Jesus with all your heart. I pray tonight God will speak to you and God will deal with your heart and draw you to Jesus. Tonight, while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and there are those here that are saved and their life has been living more on the defeated side than on the victory side. Need to come and let Jesus help you live in that victory that is Stephen lived in, and he could stand in the latter part of his life and still talk about the Lord Jesus, still wanting people to be saved, and then as he's dying, pray for those who mistreated him and ask God to have mercy on them. Father, I pray tonight that you'll speak to hearts, deal with lives, help all of us realize that there is victory in Jesus. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.